So we have been going seeing Francis de Sales, An Introduction to the Developed Life, Part 1 and Part 2. Today we should conclude Part 2. If you recall, Part 1 is about what is devotion. You know, strong charity is devotion. And then it's also talking about in Part 1 that we have to purify our sin, our affection to sin, but also our imperfections. And then Part 2 is mainly about prayer. So St. Francis mentioned about the importance of mental prayer, of morning, evening prayer, of, you know, the Mass, the liturgy of the hour. But one thing especially important for him is that we don't forget to pray during the day, that we have to sanctify the day by pious invocations, by raising our mind to God, by recalling the presence of God. Now, of course, to always praying during the day mentally is something quite beyond our capacity. Don't ever try to do it. You know, if you try to be always able to pray while you're doing anything from the morning until you get to bed, you know, what you might happen is that you might get into mental trouble, mental problem. You know, because, you know, of the book I mentioned, they have the spiritual survey. Ah, by the way, those who were not here last time, you know, who haven't got the spiritual survey, there will be detention today. Detention. So those who were not here last time, we have detention. So you can get the spiritual survey. And I will give you that spiritual survey after everybody done. Okay, so that will be our special feature today. So the meeting won't be too long for those who need to have detention. Okay, good. And so in that book, it's mentioned that because the priest was also really experienced in psychology and also in spiritual direction, he was a Carthusian monk. So he knew from personal experience, some people, they try to keep on praying from the morning until they're going to bed, and then they either see their goal not able to accomplish, and some of them maybe they got into some mental problem, So it won't be possible unless it's a special gift from God. You know, some people, you know, I mentioned also in that spiritual survey is and also I explained that mystical grace, you know, is something that we cannot push ourselves to get it. It's the gift from God. So if God gives some people special grace, able to have that sense of presence of God, you know, all through the day, that's special gift. You know, that's gift from God. It's not something that you can push doing that from morning until the evening. So that we have some relics here. The usual ones, St. Teresa, the little flower, and the five relics of a passionate order. But also, I got some relics in this box that is according to the feast day close to us. Last Friday, we have St. Anthony the Abbot. Today, we have St. Sebastian. Tomorrow, we will have St. Agnes. And then on Friday, we have the saints we are talking about right now, St. Francis de Sales. So we have their relics here. And so last Friday, we celebrate St. Anthony the Abbot. St. Anthony the Abbot. So there was a story about him. That, you know, when he was as a hermit, he tried to pray all time, even including time of working. But he found it so difficult to do it. So an angel appeared to him, and he saw the vision of the angel. The angel worked, and then the angel stopped working, and then he prayed, contemplate, and then he worked again, and then he prayed again. And so the angel, and then he got the message to do it, you know, that way will be much more manageable. So you work, when you work, you have to pay attention. You know, you have the intention to offer that to God. You raise your mind from time to time to God, you know, but that's what you can do. But to be able to keep on praying while working at the same time all the time is basically beyond our human capacity. So it's something that just want to point that out, So on the one hand, we have to never forget that we should keep our daily occupation holy by praying during the day while we are working. But also remember that what we do is by, you know, before we do something, we offer that to God, and then do our best to do it for love of God with good intention, do it well for God. And then also, from time to time, raise our mind to God. I think that's all we can do, you know. That's all we can do to sanctify our work. And then, so now, to conclude, we're also talking about spiritual reading. We also mentioned about the good, it's beneficial to a spiritual reading, and also when God gives us inspiration, we should put them into practice. And so at the end of part two, St. Francis de Sales talking about frequent confession and also frequent communion. About frequent confession, of course, we know if a person has mortal sin, the person must go to confession. That's a necessity for salvation. But many people, they may not have the mortal sin, but they want to go to confession out of devotion. And they may go to confession once a month, or once every 2 weeks, or every week. St. Francis de Sales, in his book, he actually recommend to go to confession every week. And so he wrote something like this. Let me just get to the page. You should make your confession humbly and devoutly once a week, always if possible before receiving Holy Communion, even although your conscience be not burdened with any mortal sin. For by confession you not only receive absolution for the venial sins which you confess, but also great assistance in henceforward avoiding them, new light to perceive them, and abundant grace to win back the ground you have lost owing to them. Further, practice the virtues of humility, obedience. Further, you practice the virtues of humility, obedience, simplicity, and love, so that by the act of confession, you exercise more virtues than by any other means. So, is going to confession regularly is a good way to help us to grow in holiness. We thinking about the sacraments of penance or the sacraments of confession is the sacraments of the precious blood of Jesus. Remember, I think I quote that quotation before a lot of time already, that Jesus told St. Faustina that, you know, when we go to confession, when the priest gives absolution, the blood and water from the heart of Jesus wash our soul clean. And then Jesus also mentioned that, you know, the grace in confession is received by one vessel, and that is the vessel of trust. So if that trust is great, there is no limit to my generosity. That's what Jesus said to St. Faustina. So the blood and water come forth from my heart, always flow upon your soul and ennobles it. So we think about when we go to confession, there are two important effects or fruits of confession. Of course, it's the remission of sins, but also is the infusion of grace. So confession is not only as a remedy for the past sin, it's also to preserve us and also give us a strengthening grace for the future. So it's not only wash away your past sin, it's also give you grace so that you can in the future not to sin again. So it's important to remember that. And so that's why when we go to confession of devotion, you know, it can happen, somebody can be so holy that it's not much sin from your last confession until now. Especially if you go to confession every week, maybe not much sin since your last confession until, you know, this confession, for example. But it's still good to go to confession to receive grace, to receive grace. And for us to make a good confession, what do we need to do is that we need to have contrition for sin. So that's why when we go to confession of devotion, it is possible that you might not have much sin to confess, but to ensure that you really have contrition, you may want to reconfess some of your past sin. Something that are already forgiven, perhaps it's mortal sin, big one, or venial sin, but you reconfess them so that you renew your contrition, so that you open your heart to receive absolution. And absolution is mainly, you know, absolution, what happens is when the priest gives absolution, grace infused into your soul. It's the infusion of grace. So if you have sin in your soul, infusion of grace will take away your sin. That's how sin got pumped out, you know, it's by the infusion of grace. But even if you have not sinned in your soul, if you are contrite, confession can also infuse grace into your soul to further cleanse your soul from temporal punishment, the punishment we have to go in purgatory, but also maybe our inclination to sin further overcome that, but also give us the grace that we can practice the contrary virtues of the sin that we confess. Does that make sense? So that's why there's always we can always make confession of devotion, huh? So you can if you want, you know, once a week is St. Francis himself recommend that, because on the other hand he also recommend frequent communion. Think about that. In the time of St. Francis, a lot of people they only receive communion maybe once a year, and so when there was the revelation of the Sacred Heart, it was something new for them. Once a month go to communion in reparation for sin on first Friday of the month. For those times, and those times is considered frequent already. And so now St. Francis, even more frequent, he recommend, you know, frequent communion, and then in those days will be, like once a week will be a frequent communion already. And in those days, you know, people have to go to, in those days, as on Sunday Mass, you know, there might be a low mass and a high mass. A low mass is recited, and sometimes early in the morning. And some people, if they want to receive communion, that might only be the only opportunity you might be receiving. So St. John Bosco, when he was working, he asked for permission to go to mass early in the morning on Sunday, so that he could make confession and go to communion. And it's only in the early mass, in the low mass. But you know, later on during the day, the high mass is the sun mass. They will be chanting the Gregorian chant, you know. But you know, the priest, you know, priest will be easier job than today. Don't need to preach at all, and don't need to give communion. You know, basically, when you go to mass, it's mainly for the sacrifice. That's the main reason people go to mass, is to participate in the sacrifice. You know, in the old days, a lot of mass is no preaching. Most of the mass is no preaching. And most of the mass is no communion given. Nowadays, we see those two things as quite important. Now, people quite often like to hear who is preaching, you know, and then also they love to receive communion. Of course, frequent communion become more common, mainly a lot of because of Pius X. Pius X, who died 100 years ago this year, you know, because he died of a broken heart because of the outbreaking of the World War I. So he died on August of 1914. So that's 100 years now almost since his death. So it was because of Pius X that frequent communion become common. We find that, you know, quite often there was a mentality, you know, to confession and communion, they go together. And quite often, you know, we think about the precept of the church, you know, go to communion at least once a year and then go to confession too, you know. And so you see that the frequency, the more you go to communion, the more you go to confession. And of course, if we go to communion every day, once a week will be sufficient though. But I always think that it's a good idea to have confession available before Mass, so that people can go to confession if they want to, even out of devotion, to receive communion more properly. Because to drive graces from the practice of frequent communion, I think we should also promote frequent confession. Because frequent confession help us to be well disposed to draw benefit from frequent communion. Does that make sense? Okay, that's my little contribution. Okay, now, when we go to confession out of devotion, you know, so it may well be we only have venial sin to confess, there's no mortal sin. So St. Francis de Sales, we're talking about that, then you focus on the venial sin that you are deliberate, you try to confess those sins, And then later on you focus on those who are maybe semi deliberate, you know. So it's you don't have to confess in such a way as you confess mortal sin. Quite often mortal sin you confess how many times I have done it, what kind of sin I've done, you know, more complete. But venial sin I think can be more generic, you know, not as detailed as the mortal sin. But St. Francis de Sales also recommend, and when you confess venial sin, when you go to confession, I think whether it's mortal or venial, it's always helpful that you confess to the priest the why of why you do a particular sin. Even though this is not required, you know, to go to confession, usually you have to only tell the what of the sin. Huh? To tell the why is helpful. It's helpful for you, it's helpful for the priest, helpful for you because it's expose the root of the evil, of the sin. But also it's helpful for you that you practice humility. But it's also helpful for the priest that the priest can know you better and know what kind of advice to give you. So to confess the why is not required, but it's helpful. The what is what should be confessed in confession. And then the rest, like the how, the who, the when, and the where, usually you don't have to. And you shouldn't. Unless those things might make a mortal sin become more serious, change the nature of sin. You know, for example, if you beat someone up, you know, that's one kind of sin. If you beat up a priest, okay, that's also against the first commandment. Okay, if you steal something expensive, that's against the seventh commandment. But you steal it from the church, that's also against the first commandment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why the who might change the nature of the sin. Only then you are obliged to confess. But normally those things shouldn't be confessed in the confessional, you know, because also, you know, there should be decency and modesty in confession too. So you don't want to tell the priest how exactly how you sin in a gross way, you know, or what kind of foul language you say. You don't have to say that out loud in the confessional, you know, or even you should still respect people's good name in the confessional. So who commits sin with you, you don't have to mention the person's name, you know. So we have to be careful about the circumstance, not to mention, I would say, too much in the confessional, you know, but the what. It's important that we must confess, and then the why is helpful. And then St. Francis de Sales also mentioned that the contrition, even though for confession, out of fear that you are afraid to go to hell and you are sorry for your sin, would suffice to make a good confession. But even better, if we make contrition, should be out of love for God. And the more perfect our contrition, the more effectively will the absolution erase not only the sin, but also the temporal punishment which it has incurred. And so the blood of Jesus will purify, renew, and enrich the heart of the penitent with fortitude, charity, and grace in the measure of his contrition. So the deeper our contrition, the more grace we can receive in the sacraments of penance. So those are the little tips about how to make frequent confession. And of course, when you confess venial sin, it's always good to confess the one that you want to work on the most. And oftentimes, the one you want to work on the most can be the one that is most prominent, your venial sin. And the reality is, quite often, no matter how hard we try, the semi-deliberate venial sin cannot be completely gone. Usually they are not going to completely gone until your spiritual life is in such a stage that God gives you the special grace that you don't even have those semi-deliberate venial sin. So, until then, as the Bible says, the judgment falls seven times a day. That means many times. Now, when you're thinking about frequent communion, the other subject of today, St. Francis de Sales pointed out that frequent communion, we do that in order to learn to love God, to be cleansed from imperfections, to be set free from trouble, to be comforted in affliction, and to be strengthened in weakness. And then he also mentioned that we receive the Holy Eucharist so that we can learn how to receive it better. Because if we only do that seldomly, we don't do it well. But if you do that frequently, we know how to do it well. Okay, divine intimacy. This is the good meditation book I recommended before, remember? In this book, it's also mentioned the topic of communion. Now, there's a distinction between the physical union with Jesus, Jesus inside our body, the physical union, but that is something that will lead to, direct to, our spiritual communion with Jesus. So, although the physical union with Jesus offered to me in Holy Communion is a tremendous gift, it is nonetheless directed to my spiritual union with Him and to my transformation in Him by love. The more perfect the dispositions with which I approach the Holy Table, the more complete this union and transformation will be. This disposition consists in preparing my heart for an ever greater union with the Lord, a union which requires conformity of aspirations, tastes, sentiments, and wills. So many of us are good friends here, huh? This is a good comparison about friendship. So in here it's mentioned, you know, how can I enjoy the visit of a friend and spend moments of sweet intimacy with him, moments of will union with differences of desires, affections, and will separate us. So think about that. When Jesus come to you, it's like a friend visiting you. So even though maybe physically we are close, you know, we are in the same house, but if we are really, really disagreeing in many, many things, you still feel the distance, right? So when Jesus come into our heart, you know, even though there's a physical union, He's inside us, but if in our heart, our disposition, our desire, our will is far away from Jesus, we are still far from spiritual communion with Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. So, we have to understand that, you know, in addition to the physical presence of Jesus, and because of this presence, each communion brings me an increase, a new increase of grace and charity. So the spiritual union with Jesus, increase of grace and charity. But even this increase will be in proportion to my capacity for receiving it. If my heart is closed by selfishness and pride, if it is bound by attachment to creatures, or is too much engrossed by worldly affections and affairs, it will be unable to make room for an increase of divine love. And Jesus will be, so to speak, forced to lessen the outpouring of His charity and to diminish His gifts. Yes, in Holy Communion, Jesus gives Himself completely, His entire person as God and man, and He unites Himself entirely to me. But if I do not give myself entirely to Him, He cannot wholly pour Himself into me as a friend into the heart of a faithful friend. So, that's why in the Mass, everybody might come to communion, have that physical union with Jesus, but how much grace each person actually receives really depends on the person's disposition. So some will receive more grace, some will receive less. And if a person receives in the state of mortal sin, no grace but punishment. So it's really important that disposition, you know, how we receive communion. And so that's why, you know, sometimes in the same community, you know, in the same monastery, in the same parish community, you know, maybe everybody go to Mass every day and everybody receive communion every day. But some members in the community, they grow in holiness much, much faster Some of them is still the old, nasty, mean person, you know. It's because of the disposition. Even though everybody might go to confession, but one person is growing faster in getting rid of sin, and that person seems always never growing. Again, that's the disposition. Because sacrament is not magic, but grace is given and we need to cooperate. So our disposition really make a big difference. And there's even a spiritual writer who wrote that, you know, one communion received really well can bring you more graces than many communion that you receive in a really lukewarm manner. So it's really important that we do our best to receive Jesus well and also receive the confession well, so that we can benefit by frequent communion and frequent confession.